order the Board of Supervisors meeting for August 3rd, 2016, and we'll start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Byers, and Tiemann, and Lytle will be gone all day. Do we do the consent agenda first, or do we do our timed event first, Roger?
You can do whichever way you want. You can take it out of order. Yeah.
We can take it out of order?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know he's not here, but we do have a timed event.
What? I don't know if Roger, this does approve the general agenda.
Oh, okay. Hold on a minute then. Yeah. We need to approve the consent agenda because that has approving our agenda on here.
Okay.
And then we will do the timed event. Consent agenda. One, general agenda. Two, approve the minutes of the meeting held July 20th, 2016. Three, approve all claims through August 3rd, 2016 in the amount of $984,945.57, except claim number 16080079 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $25,047.97 to be voted on below separately. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve appointing Don Schuster as alternate on the Board of Variance. Approve specifications and call for bids on fall rock and gravel. Bids to be opened on August 31st, 2016 at 9:30 a.m. Approve district court summary fee report for the month of July 2016. And approve salvage price for a 1986 GMC 1/2 ton pickup, serial number 1GTDC14N7GF702957. And that was the one that didn't we didn't have any bids on last time, and then Galen got some salvage price bids on those. And I believe that was in the neighborhood of $200, so they were going to come pick it up. So we actually got a little better price on the one we didn't get than the one we did. The ones we took bid on. So next time maybe we'll, depends on what they're like, we might get salvage price on them too when we do that. So, okay. Entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Tiemann. Any other comments? Vote. 6-0 in favor. And now we will we'll skip over the regular agenda and go down to our time event here at 9 o'clock, and we have a Veterans Honor for Ernest Smethers.
Morning. Yes, today's honored veteran is Ernest Smethers. He couldn't be here today, but he sent a thank you card because three of the supervisors went over to his house and gave him his certificate and everything. Just to start off with, Ernest was inducted into the United States Army on March 1943, and he started his active service on April 19th of 1943, and he served until February 22nd of 1946 with an honorable discharge. He was a heavy mortar crewman, and he served in the Ardennes, Rhineland, and Central Europe. He received the Good Conduct Medal, Victory Medal, American Theater Ribbon, and the European Theater Ribbon with three bronze stars. He was also awarded the Combat Infantry Badge on January 18, 1945. Anybody that knows a little bit about history knows that he got his Combat Infantry Badge at the Battle of the Bulge. So, again, he was a longtime Gage County resident, still is, and again, he did send a thank you letter to our office thanking the supervisors that came over and
we're good, yeah. Word, so. Yeah. John and Eric and I were able to go over there, and I see some of the family members here, too. And
yes.
It was really interesting to hear some of his comments about some of his service and stuff. It was, great. We had a really great visit that night and really enjoyed it and
good.
Stuff. So, and we did visit with the family that if they'd like to make some comments, they sure can. We'd sure welcome those comments today, so.
Well, on behalf of our father, Ernie Smethers, thank you to all of you for this recognition for him and to all the veterans in Gage County. It's really, it's a nice opportunity for our veterans to feel worthy and proud of what they've done serving their country. And also, I think it gives all of our communities in Gage County an opportunity to hear some history, know a little bit more about the people who served in the wars. For my dad, and again, thank you to the supervisors that did have time to come and visit. We brought our grandkids down from Lincoln, and they really enjoyed some of the stories even after you folks left and this is probably in the last few years. My dad's now 95, as he started sharing some of his stories. You know, as growing up in the family, there was never any talk about war, that's for sure, or his time in the war and what he did. But as he had an opportunity to do two reunions with his Army buddies, which was nice for him to be able to do. And just to share, and again, our thanks. This is a great thing that you do, the supervisors, and Phil, thank you. And just on behalf of my dad, he's very proud, and thanks again for this honor.
And some of us know your name, but I forgot to have
I'm
give
sorry.
Your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Stephanie Perkins, yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
Just so they have that. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, it was a fun evening.
Well, thank you again. It meant a lot to him. It really does. He's still talking about it. So thanks again.
I'm glad you identified yourself, so I know you.
I remember your birthday, Denny, so just be careful. Thank you again. Matt, thank you, too. So thank you.
Thank you for coming. Yeah. Back to the regular agenda. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the claim number 1608-0079 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $25,047.97. Total amount of the claims approved then are $1,009,993.54.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Hill, and this is for, I believe, hauling of rock and gravel. Or gravel, isn't it? Probably, yeah.
Yep, gravel.
By Tiemann, yeah. Vote 5-0 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Now, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. You can come back up, yeah.
Well, Lenhart Fritzen, 29A13 South, 120th Road. We kind of hit on some of this here other stuff, and you know it's way out of line when they say within arm's reach and what have you. I've got oodles of sails to compare with, but yet it ain't looked at, and I don't understand that. But that'll add up the line later on. What I'm thinking about is you guys have got to come up with about $29 million, maybe someplace off of a tree somewhere or something, and you ain't got no problem that can be solved real fast. Follow what Arizona did over there. Only that was statewide. In 2008, we used to go there. Eight or nine, I forget just when the crisis hit. And all you got to do is lay one person off in every office, lay two off in the sheriff department. In fact, Joe Cipriano, he laid 27 deputies off. They laid professors off into college and to get their deals done. Now, I don't know. All you would need is have a 2% sales tax, then everybody would pay on it. Not just your property taxes, you know. It wouldn't come from property taxes. Now, I don't know. Can the county get a sales tax special?
As a county, we can levy a sales tax. We can put a sales tax on, but that would only be effective then in the cities that currently don't have a sales tax or in places that currently don't. If Beatrice here, they have their own sales tax, so we as a county cannot come and put a sales tax on engaged in the city of Beatrice. And it'd be the same way if Wymore or whoever, and I don't know which entities in Gage County have a city sales tax or whatever. If they have a sales tax put on by their city or whatever, we as a county cannot put a sales tax on. We can put a countywide sales tax on, but it would only be collected in the areas where there currently isn't like a city sales tax or some other entity having a sales tax.
Well, this would be a special project, though, that everybody is involved in.
Well, then I'm afraid we'd probably have to go to the legislature and get it.
Well, I mean, you'd have to get it on the ballot.
Oh.
Yeah, you'd have to get it on the ballot. And So I don't know if something like that, it would be workable or not.
You'd have to create a law through the legislature.
Yeah. Well, that's
They don't like to give up those income producers.
I don't know that we'd want to give them another way to tax us either.
Well, when the 29 million or whatever, it's going to got a lawyer's fee there too, I see. And whenever that gets paid for, that would disappear your sales tax. And the 2% on everything, not just items that's exempt from what have you today on sales tax, everybody on everything.
What about ag
products? Kind of a flat tax.
What about ag products?
Everything. Everything. Everything that turns, put a 2% sales tax, you would have that $29 million in just a short term.
Well, I'll trying to set up a meeting sometime here in the near future with Roy Baker, our senator, and I'll bring up your idea with him. So
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've got some other stuff, but that's enough. You guys are
good. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more comments from the public? I don't see anybody else here, so. Committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights.
Nothing new.
Equalization.
We've heard it.
Finance and insurance.
There's an insurance meeting today at 1 o'clock. Don, where will that be?
Here.
Be here in this room at 1 o'clock, so I'll have to see if we can get some folks here to make that. The other thing is just to talk about $91,000 come out of the road fund for, I call it Terry's Sandbox. Actually, I have to take that back. I added in the salaries on that. So it's about $50,000 we've had continuing to put in rock and gravel. So still trying to improve everything.
Can I elaborate on that?
Absolutely.
A little bit? A few of the items, the bigger ticket items, I'll go through like I usually do. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $46,773. Contech Engineered Solutions, this is Culvert for Project C, $34,1041, $20,520. This is a culvert that's on site but isn't put in yet for various reasons because of logistics. We can't get at it right now. R.L. Thiemann, Gravel and Hauling, $25,047, and Rock on Incorporated Township Gravel Hauling Only, $18,743. And the big one is to Paulson Incorporated. This came out of Road and Bridge Sinking Fund for Hickory, $539,269.20. And to date, we paid $1,270,714 on Hickory and have approximately $3,258,000 left to pay.
That's out of the amount that was the bid approved for by Paulson. That's where those numbers come from. Yeah.
Yep. And what we talked about in Finance Committee was, again, to use, I think the end of the year balance from 2015-16 was $2.8 million out of inheritance. The plan would be to use budget $2 million of inheritance. We would transfer that over to the Road and Bridge Sinking Fund into the Hickory line item. We also have additional funds there out of Road and Bridge Sinking we can use. And then the final decision would be, do we do a small internal bond like we've done before? I think it was about 10 years ago we did an internal bond and then stretched that out over a period of time.
looking at probably 15 years before we would have to really touch anything on that road, and Don was going to, or did you say 20? Galen, I'm looking at Galen. So 15 to 20 years, so we don't want to stretch it out that long, but if we did an 8 or 10-year bond on $1 million, that would cover that. And so that's kind of what we've talked about all along, but as we're getting closer to putting the budget together, that's what we talked about, and I think that we seem to be in agreement that we're going to go that road with doing that. And you were going to get...
No, Don put together some numbers here, too.
I had it written on my calendar, and then Don flipped through the July calendar out.
Let me add something to that.
Yeah.
That million or so we're short was promised.
We're not really short.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
I'm not short. I mean, we have to bond.
Okay.
That we might.
Wouldn't have been bond if somebody didn't step off the plate of something they promised us. So go ahead.
But I gave it to Matt there that
Don and I visited a little bit after the meeting the other day, and then she put together what we have in the sinking fund, and part of that is
the buyback
that we've been getting, the buyback from the state of Nebraska, and how many dollars are in there, and how many dollars? What Matt said, there's at the start of our fiscal year here, there was a little over $2.8 million in inheritance. And we had $2.1 million. That includes the buyback, and that includes the 200 and some thousand that we got back from FEMA. And that comes up to a little over $2.1 million in sinking. So you add those two together, and there's $4.9 million there.
And then you add in the 1.6 from inheritance, and we could do it without a bond.
Okay. Well, I didn't know we had all those in there.
Well, we put it together after the meeting, kind of to see what exactly was sitting there that was usable.
But not saying we will or won't do a bond. Part of what this brought about was, you know, we had Mark Mumford give us some quotes. And Mark, in his comment back, was, I can give you quotes, but how did he phrase it about because of our current situation?
It's going to affect the bonds.
It will or could. He was checking into that. We don't know that. He's checking into it.
He sent back in the copy that I gave you is for a 7 and a 10, and he just says, I'm still trying to get my arms around the details of the judgment.
Well, and getting that feedback, too, and knowing that we had those, it may be prudent to just use, if we've got cash sitting there to pay that, and you know, because we may have to go out over the lid.
The only thing is, you know, we don't want to deplete the funds too far either.
Right. That would leave that's not including the buyback money that I requested that we get for this year.
Okay.
And then that would be leaving, if we transferred 1.6, that would leave over $1 million in inheritance that we could use then.
It depends on how you do it. If you deplete the road and bridge sinking, part of what our discussion was, the last several years we get approximately
$300,000
in February, March. Okay, we'll put that back in the road and bridge sinking. Whether or not you want to draw it way down is another part of our discussion we'll have to have. But if you add those two currently today together, there's roughly $4.9 million there. We still have. Well, but then you have to take the $500 that we just paid out.
Yeah, that's off of that amount there. Yeah.
So there is more than enough funds there in those two accounts. Now, here again, we'll have some more claims coming in whenever the cement and stuff, all this. So that's something we're going to need to decide. But part of why I had Don bring this up was more, or not bring it up, figure this up for us, was more for discussion and everything.
Well, prior to the pending big issue that we have out there, that was kind of the plan, was to use part of inheritance, part of sinking, maybe a small general obligation, then to bond something long term. Now, in the past, with gas tax allocation, I think that bond that the board did back in 08-09 for some work up by Adams in a couple different places, I think they used one gas tax allocation out of a year to do that. Now, typically that allocation goes to the highway department for funding, but I think that right now, all of those gas tax allocations are unencumbered other than there, right? We're not
carving
those out.
We use that as revenue to operate.
Yeah, so so that may change our ability to be able to do that based on what the rates are. We may be better off doing this, especially with that feedback from Mo.
And like he said, he's trying to get his arms around that and understand it better.
Yeah.
So he will have a better answer for us going forward, too. But when Don told me that, I says, well, maybe we should.
I didn't realize that.
And all this is... this is for discussion again, not deciding do that or this or whatever. But
and if you read, I think I attached that on there about the buyback. You know, you have to sign that that you needed the money and that type of thing. So I don't know. Maybe you don't want your amount to get real large either. I don't know. I don't know what their theory is going to be.
And that's accepting the money. In years past, the state, as we've gone to some of those conferences, is there some counties that rat hole the inheritance money and don't use it, and then they've got this big balance and they keep taxing people. So if we've got those dollars out there, I think we've tried to be miserly with those for a reason, is to spend those. Because how much sense does it make to have these huge sinking funds and then still tax the heck out of people? You should use those for big ticket items. And I think we've done that.
Well, since I've been on the board 5 or 6 years or whatever, part of our goal or discussion always has been knowing that we're going to do Hickory Road someday.
Yep.
And specifically making sure we're aware of the fact how we could maybe work those funds up to help pay for part of that whenever we got it done. And I think that's why some of them have the balance they have in them.
Yeah.
Because part of what you've been doing as finance chairman and that, specifically making sure we had part of that there to pay for that. So, and that's something for you guys to think about. So in the next 2 weeks, in 2 weeks from now, we may have to be making...
Well, we will have to, because if we're going to bond, I'll have to create a fund for that in a budget. So we'll have to know before...
Because we don't have anything on the agenda today to make a motion to do the bond or anything. But by our next meeting, if we want to bond whatever, $1 million or whatever, we will need to make that decision. And then Mark will have a better idea, too, of... with our situation, how that's going to affect
and then some of the feedback you've had about the options as far as needing to tax in excess of the lid for potential we may not want to add to any additional bonded indebtedness. We might want to save all of that.
Yes.
Unless anybody's got a money tree someplace. Len Hart, you planting any of those? Huh?
What's that?
Got any money trees anyplace?
Yeah, they're right here in the courtroom. Norm has all we have to do is go to the
you
buy
did,
my land. And
you just told me mine was all gone because I had to buy your land or whatever. So
yeah. You know, it's only what's overvalued that. $240
only
cost you $1,408,000.
That's all?
Yeah. That's just pocket change for you guys.
Yeah. Any more discussion on finance insurance? Human resource?
Nothing.
Law enforcement emergency management? Doug, anything? I know Gus, because of the fair and everything, wasn't here Monday and stuff, so a lot of long days out there. But how'd the fair go, or want to give a little report on that?
Sure.
You want to? Yeah.
We had a fair time. So.
We had a fair time.
It pretty okay, I guess. I mean, we had, I think we had maybe the worst of our problems were alcohol-related again. I think we had... off the top of my head, I'm going to estimate around 8 or 9, maybe MIPs, and one assault, and runaway out of Lincoln, and then maybe a trespassing arrest out there. But that was a majority of our stuff, other than just our kind of everyday stuff that we handle out there. That beyond that, but wasn't hot, so I mean it was pretty tolerable this year compared to some other years. But otherwise, I think really it went okay. So. Otherwise, but I really don't have a whole lot to report about it, I guess.
Well, Saturday night I was there. A couple of the deputies did take part in the pie eating contest.
They
did everything but twist Gus's arm, and Gus wasn't going to do it. So, yeah.
I'm not going to say they did it without his consent, but he really didn't know about it right off front. It still is good PR, I think. So
I think it is, too. So they had a good
Saturday night was probably one of our least eventful nights. I mean, with the big crowd and stuff.
The biggest crowd probably there.
Yep.
Or one of the biggest crowds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that went pretty good.
So we're good.
All right. I really don't have anything else.
And
I can't quite all remember what Tim. Oh, go ahead.
I wasn't here Monday, but I talked to somebody from Claytonia Rural or the Claytonia Fire, and they said that Tim did come over there, and I had asked about somebody not knowing who he was, and he said Tim did ask about that. He goes, I've been here, and he said he was scanning the room, looking at eyes, trying to figure out who had said he hadn't been over there. But they said he went through stuff, introduced himself. I saw the chief at the fair there wearing short pants, cruising around, checking stuff out. Looks like we had a lot of presence at the fair, so hopefully that deters things from happening too. So.
And just a note to Tim's report here. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, you know, see, and I appreciate he gets his report to us. We can kind of follow up on it and things like that. So I think he's done that kind of new here. So I think that's good to kind of keep track on some of that stuff. And we had a discussion about the time he was spending on some of the communication towers on Monday, and what the responsibility is for the city, because that's a contracted service that we pay for. And we also paid an additional fund for the operations director over there. And if Tim's still spending a lot of time, the discussion was, what are we spending the money for? So we're going to try and find out. And obviously in the contract, it states that we're responsible for equipment. But some of the troubleshooting, I hope we'd like him to work in concert with the city, but ultimately they do the dispatching. We don't have – that's not what we do. So there was discussion about that. So.
And Don did get us a copy of that part of that contract that we have with the communication director there. And reading some of that, it pretty much outlines in there just what you said, make some comments that there's – I feel looking at that, we need to definitely visit with them, that they – some of the things Carlos should be doing, we're not either we're not requesting it or it isn't getting done and stuff. So, I mean, as part of that contract, we had requested or put together that the equipment in the county and stuff just says that she'll be in charge of, or that person will be in charge of making sure it's all working, and that's not happening. So,
well, and with this $20,000 on top of the $167,000, we're pushing $190,000 for a service that our emergency manager is spending an exorbitant amount of time with.
Who is that? Who is the guy that was here before Carla?
Chris Moore.
He may still be available. Work on towers. No, that's a good point, though. I mean, if we're paying for it and they're supposed to be doing it.
Yeah.
And that's outside of Tim's skill set, too. I mean, we're asking him to do something that none of us can do. I mean, that's outside of – that's a specialty skill.
So – what I know you've talked about, you know, his setting as an emergency director, and he devotes some of that time to the city. I think take all of the contracts together and do some, whatever you call it, barter. So at least recognition that he is doing some stuff for the city, too.
Okay. Anything else for law enforcement, emergency management? Road and Bridge, Terry.
Galen, would you want to give an update on Hickory Road, where they're at right now? Or I know this is pouring again today, I think.
Pouring, I have been out there.
Yeah, as far as you know.
Well, as of last Friday, they were at 45th Road. Monday they did take off from 45th Road, which is the east mile of the project, and they were pouring. I was out there Monday morning around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and they were pouring and heading onto the east end. I haven't been out there since they finished pouring Monday. I know their goal was to make at least a half mile, and I haven't seen how far they got. If they did make a half mile, then they had less than a half mile to go to reach the end of Hickory there and butt up to our existing concrete mile. So, and I haven't been out there. I didn't make it out there yesterday during the rain. I didn't go out, and I didn't go out yet this morning. So, but they have made great progress. They've been getting at least a half mile a day since they started from the Blue River River Bridge heading east. The first day that they done between the bridges. Then the following day, they headed east, and they got to about 2,300 some feet, almost to Lynn Gerber's corner. The following day, they got just a little bit better than a half mile. So they've been really doing a great job getting at least a half mile per day. So once they get the east mile done here that butts up to the existing concrete, their intentions were, prior to this rain, they're going to come in and do some shouldering on the, well, they're going to have to do all their turnouts on the intersections, and then they'll tie in down at the river bridge and the other little bridge that they just built. When they poured that, they stayed approximately 30 feet away from the bridges, so they'll go in the pour in them sections. They also had one section there just east of Lynn Gerber's where the GPS unit that sets the elevations as this paver goes down the road, it lost a signal, so they had to move a section of the concrete because the depth wasn't the proper depth, and they'll go in and they'll pour that section back in. And then they're planning on having CCI come in and start doing some shouldering on the existing. And hopefully, I think they're by the 15th, they were talking about, because they still have some grading to do from the river bridge going west to 89 Road. They're going to finish that, and then they're hoping by the 15th to actually start paving from the river bridge going west. So, on that.
And they had about, what I think you said, maybe 47 working days left in the contract as of Monday or something like that. 43 or 47 or something like
that. Yeah, for phase one, and there was a little bit of days, different days for phase two.
Yeah.
On that, I don't remember. It was in the 40s, too, for those two separate phases.
So if they used all of that, that'd put it about roughly the end of September, first October,
right
in there somewhere. So hopefully the weather will cooperate and they'll get that, keep on schedule like they've been doing. So,
thank you, Galen.
I got a question for Galen on that, though. If that GPS didn't do that right, we haven't built a road in the last few years without at least one dip in it. And now we took it out already. Because John can't drive a road without him talking about the unevenness and the dip. So.
And I wish you guys would drive it.
I did get a call, and I didn't get out there to look at it. On Sumner Road, did we do some patching out there?
Yeah, we did last week, a patch or two.
A guy called. He didn't leave his name for me. I asked it, but he had other things to tell me about. But we patched something, and he asked if our asphalt machines broke. He said it went in there and jarred his vehicle, and I said I'd go out and look at it. I haven't been out there, but I don't know if it's where we feathered in or feathered out. But like I say, I haven't been out there to look at it either.
I'll take a look at it. See what he's talking about. I haven't been out there.
But he was excited.
You sure used the word asphalt?
He used a lot of words.
Okay.
I'll check it.
But I was going to go look, and I kept thinking I was going to get there before this morning, and I didn't. But if you are out that direction, I don't know. Some of them are bigger difference than others, and sometimes you catch the right person at the right day, and it's worse.
Very
too.
True. Very true.
Thank you, Galen.
You bet.
Galen touched on most of the items. A few other things. I think we spoke about this before, but with this week's claims, the county has paid $1,270,714 towards Hickory. Plan is, of course, 47 working days left on the project. Hopefully, by the end of September, we'll be able to open the road. Had two bills we had to pay for that wasn't planned on for Hickory project, approximately $1,200-$1,300, I believe was the amounts went there. It was for lowering some lines.
One was 700 and some, and one was, we had three. Well, the one had two bills. Wasn't it? Gerber had two, and Ince had one.
Okay.
Well, that was had because of some of the electrical lines out there. They had to be lowered because of the
ditch was
greater ditch being lowered and stuff. And that during our discussion on easements and during everything what they designed and everything, that just wasn't picked up. And it has since come about that we felt
that was part of basically those would not have been done if it wouldn't have been for the fact of the road design mm-hmm. and what we did with the road.
Yep.
So we were told Galen to get a better exact amount on those, and that we would approve of paying those or whatever. So,
and then the last item, East 5 Lincoln Township, in our budget. In fact, I think it's been there for the last 2 years in the 1 year plan, replacement of a box culvert. Manelli said rough estimate would be $150,000, and we asked Galen to go ahead with it and get the plans drawn up, so maybe that can be completed by this fall.
And I guess my thought on that, and I've asked Galen a couple of times for this, Manelli Wagner has not given us estimates on the two bridges that have significant damage or issues on our blacktop road, so one south of Claytonia and the one between Holmesville and Blue Springs. And to me, at least I have got to have that before I can think about another bridge or replace another bridge.
Because what we told Manelli to do is I'll go ahead and get the plans and then get right. that set up so we could put that out for bids. Now, that's not saying right. when we will, and then even if we put it out for even putting out for bids, then we still, before they come back in, we still can decide not to do it. So
and we at least need to know how significant the issues those two bridges have.
Yes, and what some costs might be there. Anything else, Roan Bridge? I want to go back up to finance for just a minute. Forgot something here. We talked a little bit about it maybe in finance, and that is our agreements with I call them the ambulance or rescue squads. Those were due again or whatever. I think we just need to have a little discussion on continuing that or doing that, and just send them out new agreements or what, and then the funding for those two and stuff. So
I was going to have that discussion with that budget item.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Receive and place on file the road speed safety study on East Linden Drive, Gage County, Nebraska, as directed in Resolution 16-06.
That would have been in your board packet, so we just formally put it on that he spoke about on Monday.
Right. Galen talked about that. It's in his the road and bridge supervisor's report. And
just need a motion to put on file?
Yeah.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Hill. And there was an individual, Galen, maybe you want to talk about it a little bit and what the result was. Individual came and requested the county basically look at a section of Linden Road about some issues there.
Yes, and what this was, we had an individual request possible speed limit signs be put up, and this is out by the Holmesville River Bridge area. And so what we had to do, we done a road speed safety study on East Linden Drive, and the location was from First Street in the unincorporated village of Holmesville going west on Linden Drive to South 36 Road in Section 29, 3 North 7 East Rockford Township. And as directed in the resolution number 1606 dated May 11th, 2016, I would like to make the report as following. Gage County Highway Superintendent and Engineer have performed the engineering study, and based upon said study, which is attached to this letter, recommend at this time there are no indications a reduction in the speed limit is warranted. Remove all trees and brush from the right-of-way area of the bridge in the boat club driveway and trail intersection. And once the trees have been removed, verify the sight distance from the driveway and the trail intersection, and consideration may be given at that time to install a trail crossing signs east and west of the trail crossing. So it's our recommendation.
Yep. Any other questions, comments? Thank you, Gavin. Mm-hmm. If not, we have a motion to place on file the road safety study. Vote 6-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove subgrant agreement between Gage County and Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Division of Children and Family Service Child Support Enforcement Program and approve or disapprove having chairman sign agreement and audit requirement certification. The purpose of the agreement is to account for the work of the clerk of the district court. The subgrant is effective from 10-1-2016 through 9-30 of 2017.
I'd make a motion to approve the subgrant and give the chairman authorization to sign.
I was second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Byers. And Don, maybe you or Roger or somebody know a little bit about this.
Yeah, basically this is an agreement, an annual agreement we have with the state that reimburses us part of our expenses in child support enforcement. And basically through Kravitz, work as the authorized agent for the county on that stuff. And it's basically a lot of bookkeeping that Diane and Mr. Kravitz does so that we can get that reimbursement.
I think you also have an agreement probably coming up, too, don't you? Because I think last year we had one with
probably.
You. We might see it again with your name on it next time.
I mean, okay, yeah. I know I already signed one of them. And,
okay. So.
Anything else? If not, vote 6-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove a 1% increase for the lid on restricted funds.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Byers. And Don, you want to explain this a little bit? I think I know what.
Well, that's the same that from the 2.5%, this is just the option to increase the 1%.
Like, and this gives us the ability to increase it that extra 1% if, as we go through budget discussion, we need to do that. So, and this is, we have to have a supermajority vote, which we have enough here today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Vote 6-0 in favor. Discussion on the 16-17 budget.
So as those claims are coming in, or not the claims, but the budgets have come in, and I know that there's some equipment requests from the highway department. I've spoken with the chairman of Road and Bridge, and we kind of decided that that probably would hold off on any capital expenses with regard to equipment for at least 1 year. We bought a lot of equipment. It's about $560,000 worth. Just as we're trying to get some of these other things paid off, we might hold off for a year. I don't think that we should hold off indefinitely because there are some equipment that's got a lot of hours on it, but we've also replaced a lot of stuff.
We have. And with that in mind, though, I know Galen's kind of went out for 2 years, and in next year, I mean, we've got two motor graders that definitely have to be replaced or looked at getting replaced because we'll be spending more money repairing than we will looking at it. So anyway, that's just a thought that I had.
Some of just cash flow and how we can get things paid for. We've talked about Hickory Road a little bit. We do need to talk about outside agencies and really focus on the agencies that we're not bound by state statute to fund. But my concern lies with those groups that have not shown that they necessarily need the dollars that are in the agreement because they haven't turned in claims on a quarterly basis. It's been drawn in the account or they haven't met the conditions of the contract. So we saw that for the last couple of years where folks will turn in claims at the end of the fourth quarter for the entire year at times. And so they haven't. My contention is, well, how paramount are those funds then for a cash flow if you can go almost the entire year? And I don't know what exactly those fiscal years are for those organizations, but we know what our fiscal year is, and then not request them. And there's been some instances where I think we have went ahead and paid, even though some of those entities haven't met the conditions within the contract, even after we've told them and highlighted and gave them the claims. And so, you know, we can continue to go on there and give taxpayer money out, but I just think we need to look at some of those and say, you know, we've got a lot of things coming down the road here. We've just talked for 45 minutes almost, or half hour, in equalization about the concern of taxation and valuation of property. And I'm not saying that these aren't worthy organizations that have requests, but realistically they should look at, do they really need that for operations if you can go almost 90% of the calendar or the fiscal year of the county and not request the funds? And I guess that would be the discussion. We kind of dusted off a little bit on Monday. Some things that we have to pay for. But again, some of those things, is that an opportunity to try and keep the expenses down?
And we've talked about peeling some of those things down a little bit in the past. This is going to be a good reason for us to necessitate that, where it's not just optional. This may be a good time where we really do look at those a little closer. I was going to throw out two. I just talked to someone the other day. Here we talk about not spending money. Oil prices have dropped again. Road oil stuff has dropped again from the prices we got for the armor coating in the past. You know, this year prices have gone down from the past, and since that bid, the oil prices have dropped a fair amount again, which is unheard of or odd. With crude down, recycled oil, and I think a lot of the road oil is actually recycled oil, if I understand right. So those prices are down again if we want to look at more armor coating. I know John's not a big fan of armor coating and stuff, but this would be a spot again where...
And actually, that's kind of been the plans this fall, is to finish the rest of those miles, right? And I think we should. We need to get as much preventive maintenance done as we can.
Maybe our last shot for a while.
Yep.
So those are, you know, are we the 20th of this month when we'll get the final numbers from the assessor's office?
She'll get her state figures, I think, on the 10th. She gave me a preliminary right now, but she won't have a centrally assessed.
I know I always try to jump on this, and probably now after almost 8 years, I've realized you just got to wait. you can kind of plan and you can talk, but until you can really put the pencil down and figure out where you're going to be, you got to wait till she gets her final numbers in. So just general discussions like this, I think, are good to have. It gives an opportunity for the public to come, but...
I put figures together based on, like, last year's valuation. Now that I've got the new preliminary one, I'll run those numbers.
What's the preliminary? We've 3.5 billion. What are we? What's the?
You know, I have it on a note.
Because we were right at 3 last year.
Yeah, it's 3 something, but it's on a sticky note. I haven't done anything with it. I just got it.
I think she said like 11% or 12%. County valuation increase. She'd said that at some point. Wouldn't that put us about almost 3.4-ish?
Okay. I don't even remember.
I asked you
what
a question
she...
you didn't know. Mark, for the record, I asked Dawn a question she didn't know.
But I have it on my note, but I just didn't really look at it close enough this morning yet. Sorry.
Hopefully, I guess everybody's coming in with either very, be nice to see decreases in departments, but be nice to be at really flat numbers otherwise. Or very close to flat.
Well, and you know, we can sit around and awfulize about, you know, where our position is, and we've got some litigation yet to go through, but, you know, there's certain things that we just, with regard to public safety, that we will not be able to stop doing. But there's always that doom and gloom, kick the dirt, awfulizing thing about going through department by department if things get bad, and it may be different. You know, there could be some significant changes in the operations of the county bureaucracy, but there's certain things you just can't stop doing. You can't stop law enforcement. You can't stop maintenance of infrastructure. But some of the services to the public may be impaired because those aren't paramount on a day-to-day basis. You know, a lot of those are unknowns, and you know, they've all got price tags on them. So,
yeah. But as we sit here today, there's just too many unknowns. I'll agree with you.
There's things you can't stop, but there are things you can slow or change, and that's the direction that stuff will go. The stuff that can't be stopped will be slowed, changed, or cut.
And I think we need to discuss with those agencies you're talking about, Matt, as far as looking at their budgets and whether they've expended the money at the end in the fourth quarter and how it's been done. I think we need to have conversations with them on why. There could be reasons why.
Well, in some cases, there's just no submission of claims for funds. They just... And God bless the clerk's office. A lot of times she'd call them. Do you need your money? Oh yeah, that's right. They're sent blank claims with the dates that they're due to be filled out and sent back.
Absolutely. We should look at that, and let's discuss it with
it'll be on the agenda again at our next meeting on the 17th of August. And Patty might have that done for us and might not with the what the levies, the preliminaries will be. So we'll see. But
I'll be able to run with what I've got right now. We can start working on that.
Start having a more.
Because I'll have the valuation pretty, I mean, it's not going to change drastically. Well, the centrally assessed will be.
And I guess one of the things, too, and I don't know if we talked about this last meeting, I wasn't there, about township. Right now we grant 7.5 cents. There was some discussion. I think you said the average is 4.3.
If you add the 24 together and divide by 24, that's different than how assessors. The average was 4.08 or 4.1%. 4.1 mill levy. That's what they're using out of the 7.5 mill levy.
And there's some that are higher, but if there's that's where we grant that, and not even by just by basically I don't even think there's any local agreements with those entities. We just grant that, and the same thing with the fire districts. And I know Mr. Jurgens has talked about this before, that the valuation in some of those areas, do they need all the 3 cents anymore? And then is the MFO money that they get in? You weigh the benefit of that, is it as important as it used to be? I mean, there are a lot of money there, but as we look at places to peel back expenses and try to come up with some tax levy that we may have to use in the near future, we need to look at those things. And if the valuation is high enough, at the folly of the taxpayer, if the valuation's out there, we may need to try and look at things differently.
Mike, I'm sure everybody knows it, but my contention is the fire districts have to follow 3%, or 3 mils, what is it?
3 cents.
3 cents. As their district valuations increases tremendously, they're still getting that 3 cents. And it makes no sense to me, so.
There is that statute this year. I'm not sure how that affects that 3 cents with the MFO,
That would be my fear. As long as we give them that 10% or that 3 mill levy, there's no repercussion. But if we do take that away and then they can raise that to 10,
they can raise it. There was a bill passed in the legislature this year.
Raise it up to, I'm sure.
They can raise it up to, but there's still, and I don't know other than the fact through the discussion of that, there was something about in there basically for a year, you had to deny them for so long the right to have the opportunity to collect. That was, and I don't know what that time length is. And then after that, they can go basically outside of your board, and they can impose up to, and I know they have to vote on it themselves, but they can impose up to 10-cent mill levy now. Fire districts can. So, and that bill was just passed this year, and I don't know all the details. That we'd have to find out too.
There's something too. Even if we give them some, they still can go higher too.
If we give them some, yeah, there's something in, and don't understand that one totally. And I'm sure as the years go on here, that some of this might be in effect, because basically that got implemented in the legislature because of a one out by Scotts Bluff or way out west. The county had, For years, said, no, I ain't giving you nothing. You're going to raise all the funds yourself.
I agree with you, though, Terry. It's just I don't want it to go that other route.
The thing about it is most of the rural fire districts are all taxpayers, too. So
yes,
they see it. So there's going to be some common sense there, I think.
Yeah.
Another thing, is there a desire to do something different with the townships? Because if there is, the last time we did that, we took that penny and we put it into Road and Bridge Sinking. That dollar amount is where that went when you lowered that. So
we'd have to look at that fairly closely. I mean, while the average is 4 point something, some of them are higher than that, and townships have different amounts of valuation out there and different amounts of needs as far as their roads. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've got to set it the same for all of them, but that might not fit all of them.
Because I think the highest one was like 6.8 or 6.9. There was this year was the first year there wasn't anybody at the 7.5 mill levy. Otherwise, all the other years we've had, I know when we came on the board, I think there was pretty close to 10 or 15 of them, or half of them maybe, that were at that levy. But because of the valuation increases, their levy has been decreasing, and I don't believe there were any over 7 this year.
And the other thing to look at is, as Lennart and others, everybody has said, ag valuation is going to come down, and that will increase their mill levy, but without increasing their budget.
more discussion. So
the percentage increase is based on asking, not on the mill levy, though.
The 2.5 or that 2.5%, that's based on asking. Currently, this past year, we collected just a little bit over $8 million in taxes, or what you call asking. Yes.
So if Patty would lower stuff as things start coming down, they could pop against their lid right away.
But we have the two things. The one lid is for the asking, and that, as long as our mill levy's down here where it's at, we don't have no issues. If the valuation decreased by so much, then our lid would be the limiting thing up here, because that could be the limiting thing more than the asking 2.5% lid.
Yeah. The townships would hit that long before us, though, more than likely. They would, what they've been getting.
We allow them to have that 7.5.
When they turn in their request every year, we get that, but there's no interlocal agreement that says for the next 3 years you can turn in a request that we will allow up to 7.5 cents per person. So really, it's kind of a year-by-year basis, and that's, for a while now, I've said that if, and I'm not proposing we do it this year, but if we are proposing in the future to look at decreasing that, we need to allow these entities forethought and knowledge that, okay, you need to plan for this, because we're looking at rolling some of that back because we either forced to or would like to. But I wouldn't contend that we'd pull the carpet out on anybody that have been relying on that, and there's been that agreement, and there's been that normal way of doing business. But I think we have to look at that. They raised their 2.5-3% lid here. They're just not going to catch up if they don't try to go to that max every year. And I know that's been some of the criticism, that if you don't increase every year, you'll get behind, and cost will exceed your ability to bring in the revenue, and you'll always be behind. But it's something we're going to have to probably look at moving forward. And I know sometimes we get people that come up here and they'll chastise us for saying, why aren't you taxing people more? The valuation's out there. Bring in that revenue. Get things done. And I would contend, again, every year that uncollected and unused mill levies are savings to the taxpayer. They're not collecting those. And if we don't need them, leave them alone. But, we've got things hanging in the wind out there that we may have to go get that, not because we want to, but because we've been told we have to.
Any more comments on the budget? And Lennart's going to bring back his money tree next time. He'll pick some before he comes.
We'll be
better for
him. I got one comment. There shouldn't be such a thing as mill levy.
Lennart, come forward.
Up by the mic.
Again?
Yes.
Lennart Fritzen, 29813 South 120th Road. There shouldn't be such a thing as mill levy. It should be, you had this many dollars coming last year, what you spent, and we allow you so many dollars increase, then figure out what your valuation is already, then put the mill levy to collect that, so they can't collect above that.
Well, that's kind of what we do.
Is that kind of what you're working on? That's the way the county process operates, yes.
Well, like just the schools, like they got a lot of slush money, they go for it.
That's one thing that I think it is good to talk about, is that there are limits on that the legislature's put in place that do limit public body spending by these lids, where it's not just the in our case 50 cents, but you pull off interlocal agreements, it's really 45 cents that limits that. It also limits the increase that you can do to a budget for restricted funds. Now there are certain things, capital improvements, that are considered unrestricted funds that you can go above. But there are measures like that do limit how much a public body can increase those. And that can be a friend to the taxpayer, but when there's things that need to be done by a public body, it can be a limiting factor as well. So the dance and the balance is make sure that we're always trying to seek value in those tax dollars, because, when we talk about slush funds or wasted money, there's nothing that gets the hair on the back of a taxpayer up faster than when they see that there doesn't appear there's value in the money that we're taking.
Yeah. Pat, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, the mill levy asking has been dropped last 3 years has went down.
In the face of an increased valuation, whether you're in the numerator or denominator and whatever that factor is, what I have always focused on, and I try to get the taxpayers, don't look at that mill levy. If you want to look at what your public body is spending, look at the total tax asking, and you look at the percent increases that we've done. 0%, 1%, 3%, 2%. Our total tax asking that we've done incrementally over the years.
We're talking about county only.
I'm talking. I'm not speaking for anybody else. I'm saying just.
There you
county.
Go.
But that's true. But if you look at what the county has levied, what the total tax asking that the county has looked for, the valuations and potential revenue have far exceeded the increments that we've made. And I'll tell you, in certain circles, I've been criticized for why don't you raise that faster? And I would say, because we're able to function and not have to do that. And we still have sinking funds and we can still pay for stuff. And so that's what I always tell folks to look on. Hold us accountable for the total tax asking every year, because sometimes we can get lost in the levy and the lid and all that.
Yeah.
How much more are we asking for? And again, there was one year we asked, it doesn't seem like much, but in the $7 million tax asking, we actually asked for $1,500 less. I think that was 2009, 2010. We actually decreased the tax asking. Now, some people said, well, you got behind. And I would say, we're able to do everything now. How far behind did we get?
Yeah.
So I think it's okay to do that sometimes, but you've got to be miserly. Because, again, if you get too far behind, then you can't catch up. And it's a dance. It's a balance.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need a march to our capital, a group. Like Patty says, you got to get grouped together. And I think that's why we're going to try and get a tax organization started. Then go to when the legislature's in office. Right now, we got discrimination against property taxes going. And land especially, it's discrimination. And right now, I'd like to file a no-profit organization because there's no profit in the farming right now. You're below cost of production. And so where do you go? Pretty soon the young ones is going to disappear. Is what it comes to. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you. Any more discussions?
If not, the other thing we have on the agenda is a closed session for a litigation update. We will be going in a closed session here, but I need to take a break first. So,
Were we going to discuss the property down on the river or not? Or do we need to wait till next time?
Well, that's probably litigation. Yeah. Probably ought to do it.
That was you. Part of litigation.
Hey, yeah. Galen?
We're going to have that closed session.
Ha ha, you tried.
We went Galen here for that.
No, I have something else. I'm just going to catch
you. No, I don't think.
But I'll entertain a motion at 10:00.
Yep.
Well, we're going to take a break and then we'll come back.
Break.
Then we'll come back in closed session. We're going to take a 5-minute break.
Okay.
One mic. We are back in session at 10:10, and I will entertain a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual, and it's for litigation update. And also, we do have one situation with a property down by Barnston that we visited about
before. I think that's going to wait.
Well, that's going to wait. Okay. But we might talk about that. Okay. But entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Hill, seconded by Tiemann at 10:10 on the clock to go in closed session. Vote 6-0 in favor.
Wick Barnes?
Yes, sir.
Well, I spent two summers making that.
Are we on?
Yeah, we're on.
Okay.
It's 11 o'clock on the clock, and I need to entertain a motion to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Juergens. Vote 5-0 in favor, with Bauman now being absent also. Okay, seeing nothing else for the good of the order, we have an insurance meeting at 1 o'clock, and that's why we want to visit with Eric, so that you can be back here at 1 o'clock with me and Juergens.
Okay, so we're off.
And we're off. We're meeting adjourned 11:01.